If you choose this path, you will find no safe harbor, no easy exit, and no way out. You will lose everything.
That was President Trump sending a sharp warning to the Venezuelan military from Miami this week. Staying loyal to embattled Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, Trump said, would mean trouble. As Venezuela's humanitarian crisis worsens, President Maduro is continuing to reject aid from the U.S. and other countries. In the meantime, opposition leader Juan Guaido, who has the support of the U.S., set a Saturday deadline for aid to be delivered to Venezuelans. Joining us now for a look at U.S. involvement in the situation in Venezuela is Joshua Goodman, and he's the news director for the Associated Press in the Andes. Thanks for being with us, Joshua.
Thank you very much.
So talk us through the situation at the Venezuelan border. The U.S., we reported on this earlier, the U.S. has delivered aid. There were some tie-ups there, political tie-ups in getting that aid to people. And this is set this Saturday as a deadline for President Nicolas Maduro to let the aid into the country. Is this aid going to get to the people?
Well, we really don't know. And it's important to realize that the aid has been sitting there on the border in a warehouse, but it's also being delivered to staging points in Brazil as well as Curaçao, which is also on Venezuela's border. This is a very clear political strategy by Juan Guaido to break the loyalty of the military. A lot of the humanitarian experts we've talked to say that you're not going to resolve the very serious economic problems and humanitarian problems in Venezuela with this aid. But basically, it puts the military in a hot spot. Do you let the aid go through, as Guaido has asked, or do you block it, as President Maduro has asked? And that's really going to shape events and just the whole political calculus going forward as to which of these two gentlemen really will have power going forward.
Tell us a little bit about the parallels with U.S. involvement in Latin America. Have other U.S. presidents made the kinds of threats that we heard President Trump make earlier in the segment?
Well, certainly decades past during the Cold War, the U.S. took a very heavy-handed approach to its affairs in Latin America. And I think President Maduro never loses an opportunity to remind Venezuelans about that. It is true, though, that since the end of the Cold War, we really haven't seen such overt military threats. So this is going to be a key factor. I mean, this is what's unique right now about Venezuela's crisis. It's been going on for 20 years, and it's been pretty bitter, the fight between the government and the opposition all those years. But the U.S. really, until now, has never taken such an overt, overhanded approach to resolving the crisis. And that, I think, really has sent some shivers throughout the government here.
To your point, and the fact that the U.S. has, you know, on the one hand, the United States has implemented the policies for people coming, migrating to our country from Central America, and at the same time wants to take a heavy hand here in Venezuela. I mean, the positioning to that leads me to believe there's something more here, and I'm assuming that's oil.
You know, to be fair, you know, Venezuela's oil industry already has a strong U.S. component. I mean, Chevron has been here for years and is a very close partner of the Maduro government. So is Baker and Hughes, Schlumberger. I mean, the major oil companies have been here for a long time, perhaps not as much as they had in the past. Right now, there's a lot of Chinese and Russian companies. But certainly, you know, the U.S. oil industry looks interested in investing in Venezuela. They sit on top of the world's largest petroleum reserves. And, you know, let's face it, the oil industry here really needs someone to bring some foreign capital in here. Production in the past 20 years has fallen from 3.5 million barrels a day to about 1 million today. And the reserves are plentiful.
Let's talk a little bit more about that aid that's trying to get to the American aid, at least, that's trying to get to Venezuelans. The International Committee of the Red Cross and even the United Nations agencies have refused to collaborate with the United States. What's that about?
There's a difference between using humanitarian aid as a political tool and to use it as to actually alleviate some of the suffering that's going on here. Anyone who has looked at this objectively knows that you need to have a real impact here. You need to use the networks that already exist inside the country. So that's the Red Cross. It's also, you know, local hospitals, federal agencies, and, you know, government programs. And that's not what's going on here. What's going on here is an attempt to bring in some aid to basically break the loyalty of the military to Maduro. And yes, I mean, it will have an impact, but it'll be very symbolic and small. And what's interesting, though, I think, is a lot of people, and then the U.S. as well, have said that this is going to be only the beginning, that if indeed Guaido were to come to power, there would be a lot more of this kind of aid. And then we would see more professional groups taking a more active role. But for now, a lot of them are decrying what they see the use of humanitarian aid as a political pawn in a very high-stakes chess match.
I want to go back to the president's statements at the beginning of the segment. Why would the military in Venezuela pay any attention to the warning of the U.S. president? I mean, it just feels like, could this mean that there is the potential for U.S. military involvement?
Look, I mean, the military here, there are some, you know, generals at the very, very top who've made a lot of money and who are very much sort of, you know, close to Maduro and his inner circle. But the vast majority of soldiers are struggling like regular Venezuelans with hyperinflation and shortages. So I think at some level, it's an appeal that does resonate, especially with the lower ranks, people who don't feel like they've benefited from the current system. So I do think that's a message that can resonate. On the other hand, this is an incredibly proud, nationalistic country, and I don't think any military man or woman here really likes being told that they should open the door to a foreign military invasion. So what we've seen is that polls show that Venezuelans overwhelmingly want change. They want Maduro to go. But at the same measure, they're also very clearly stating in these polls that, you know, they don't want it to be done at the hands of a foreign military invasion. And that's really sort of the crux of the problem right now, is how do you affect that change?
Joshua Goodman is the Andean News Director at the Associated Press. Thanks for joining us, Joshua.
You're welcome.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.